The footy was created on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to all First Nations people and acknowledge their profound contribution to the game we bloody love.
This is a Grouse House podcast.
Hello, welcome to the footy chat this week with the star of Australian stage of the... Is it still TOEFOP or have we changed the name of it? Is it...
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Like, because this is a weird way to introduce someone who's halfway through their introduction, ask them for details about the introduction.
Well, I'd rather it be done right, Will. Is it TOEFOP? It's
Will Anderson here. We can then backdate it. We'll memento this. We'll Benjamin Button the introduction. We'll say who I am and then explain who I am, which is...
I'm very bad at this. So if you wouldn't mind hosting, I would genuinely really appreciate it. So
I'm essentially the generic white guy you see hosting everything on the ABC who isn't Adam Hills. And I've been around forever. I used to be a young person. Like, I used to be like you guys. Like, young. I was young and young people liked me. And now every time I step on stage in the media, I'm a reminder to my audience that they are also old.
Yeah.
They look at me like, how dare you? How dare you get old? Because if you're old, we're old. That's horrible.
My memories of you, and like, because I remember being in high school and coming home from school, and usually on a Wednesday night, you would be there doing something, probably Glasshouse.
Yeah, Glasshouse.
And my first memory of you was... That you wore thongs with jeans, and that you were a real symbol of what is now Double J, in that you were the like cool older to us person, and it was you and Corinne and Husey and all those kind of people.
But that's exactly who I am, Broden. Is that like in Tom Ballard's book? You know, he's like, you know, I Hate Boomers book. in Tom's book, he like lists people of different generations who are emblemic of that generation.
Yeah.
And I am so emblemically Generation X.
You like, are
like just that real, real missing generation of Generation X that no one's like didn't like got some of the good times, but the good like it was kind of that every time I've gone into a commercial radio station, there's always that thing of, oh mate. Like the DJs used to do cocaine off the desk. It was an all-night party. It was wild.
Oh,
and
right.
It's always like, oh, when did that stop? Oh, yeah, last week, mate.
So you're like, you feel like you've just missed your generation have just missed every important thing or fun thing. It's just gone. Because that's how I feel as well for our generation, is that like Donna does a podcast out of where Triple M is made, and you go in there and go, I think this is just about to end. And you go like... And that's how I feel as well. But it's interesting to know you feel that as well.
Oh, yeah. But I'm of that generation that had the internet for half of... So I'm 50 in a couple of weeks, and the internet's been around for about half of my life.
Mm.
And so we can all... There's two things that have happened within our lifetimes that are... Well, three things, I think, that we can say are these groundbreaking things. One was the global pandemic. Clearly, that was a big thing for all of us to go through. You know, I think that there was the invention and then the adaption of the internet as like being this big thing. I had half of my life without that and then half of my life with that. And then, of course... The Bulldogs 2016, breaking that drought. Like, I mean, is really, let's bring it back to the topic that we're here to discuss
That's the two things you are the face of for me, is that my childhood watching comedy in Australia, you are Australian comedy in our childhood, but then also in 2016, you were in many respects the face, because also your wonderful podcast with our mate Charlie Clawson, Two Guys, One Cup, up until that point was about two men whose teams do not win premierships, and that's what their identity and brand is built on, the fact that you don't, you go for teams that don't win flags. And then what was it, 12 months into this podcast or a little bit?
No, so that would be lovely if it was 12 months in, but in the year of our Lord 2016, Charlie Clawson and I, we do another podcast called TOEFOP. This is where this intro started.
please welcome Will Anderson.
It's very confusing. All of them are now at a feed called Everyone Relax. So you can find Willosophy, TOEFOP, FOFOP, our footy podcast, the cricket podcast, anything that Charlie and I make. He has a Tales of the Unexplained podcast. Like, we do a whole bunch of projects, I guess, like Donna do, in that there's, you know, there's different members who do different things and all under this one banner. We have a weird one where it's just Charlie and I, but we still do that same model. We have the working dog model with just two people, basically.
From afar, it feels like two really cool people living in far in like in the north somewhere. I can't even know say for sure where you both live, but you every time I get in contact with either of you, you appear to be like just coming in from the beach, or you've had a like you've just gone out for a beautiful organic lunch, and you do fun things and talk about all your fun adventures together on the internet every day.
Well, I wish that I could dispute the categorization that you've just made of me, but literally I have come like via the doctor, via the organic bakery that I went to this morning to pick up some bread, and this afternoon I am going for a swim.
Yeah.
So you are absolutely right. Oh, you've categorized it. And so Charlie and I bonded many years ago, 20 years ago. We were guys who became friends as adults, and sometimes that can be a hard thing for men to do, is like, you know, make a new friend as an adult.
Yeah.
And so we were podcasting before podcasts. The way that we became friends with each other was that we would be the guys in the corner of the party who would eventually be having these dumb old conversations about wrestling or AFL footy or whatever it might be. And I guess we bonded over that idea, and I know that your podcast is like started on this premise as well, which is I love AFL football and Charlie loves AFL football, but we didn't love it in the way that the traditional media narrative of AFL football was told.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the cliche of AFL football might be and the broad stereotype of AFL football, Charlie and I are, yes, inner city soy boys, but also like, you know, AFL football, and like would like to have dumb conversations about AFL football. Mm. And often we're more fascinated by some player's new haircut. You know,
yeah.
The fact that like Trent Cotchin, like, you know, clearly was a just cuts guy and spent no more than $17 on his haircut, you know, and then one day moved to a more expensive barber. And that was when he did not play well for a while.
Yeah.
And he went back to the simple just cuts haircut. And I want to talk about that. That to me, that says more about how I like to watch 100%. AFL, but yes, the thing that bonded us was he's a Saints fan and I'm a Bulldogs fan, and both of our teams had only won one premiership, and so that was something we would often debate, was the idea of is it better to be Charlie, who had seen his team lose grand finals, or was it better to be me, who had lived my entire life without ever seeing my team appear in a grand final. So the Bulldogs have only ever been in two grand finals. It had been in two grand finals in my lifetime, 1954, which we won, of course, and then 1961, which we lost. And so in 2016, Charlie and I started Two Guys, One Cup. And the name of it was because both of our teams only had one cup. And in 2016, the opposite of 61, reverse the curse, the Bulldogs, the unlikeliest of all premierships, that I, of course, we loved. And, you know, the brilliance of the fact that it's all documented, you know. Like, I can go back to 2016 and go from us, like, we went into that season, people forget this about the Bulldogs, but, you know, we'd lost our coach, we'd lost our captain, we'd lost, like, our best player. Like, the Bulldogs had been decimated.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of, and the massive turnaround that came for, I was resigned to the fact that I thought I would never see the Bulldogs play in a grand final in my lifetime. I got to that point in my life where I was like, I don't think it's going to happen. And so all we had to do was start our podcast.
Yeah. But that year, you're entirely right. From my memory, there was, I don't think you were in the top five predicted to, as you drink out of an ABC mug, by the way. That's just fantastic.
Just, oh, and for the record, the equality LGBTQI, like, could not be more ABC.
You're the most ABC man in the world. But that year, you weren't the team that everyone was predicting would go on and win the flag. I remember going out to Ballarat to see a preseason game. I think it was 16 between Melbourne and the Doggies. And it was, I remember you were a rising team, but in, and this was in a period when the AFL was not for the small teams. There was it was moving in the direction of Major League Baseball or NFL, where it was like the only the big teams win. And so I remember we were doing a comedy festival in Perth or something when you won that first final, and it was like, well, that's really great for this young team to be getting that experience. And then the next week, it happening again. And then the famous GWS game. Do you prefer the GWS game to the Sydney game, or is the grand final just feel, which one feels more special, or are they, they're all different kids? Or
okay, so the incredible thing about, like, I mean, because everything you say is absolutely true, and there are people who will say the Bulldogs weren't the best team that season, and I agree with them. The Bulldogs were not the best team that season. That's why they finished seventh. But here's what the Bulldogs did have to do. They won the finals. And the reason we have the finals, I remember going to the grand final like one time, and I asked Lee Matthews and I said, Lee, who's going to win today? And he goes, I don't know. That's why they play the game. And and I agree with that. And it's what I love about AFL, which is you play the season to qualify for the finals, and then you play the finals.
Yeah.
And there is no one in the world who cannot say that the Bulldogs were not the best team in the finals that year, because we had to go to Western Australia to beat them. We had to go to GWS to beat them. Who else did we – like? And I'm missing one as well. But they were all away games. We had to do it all away. We were always the team that was not favoured during that final series, and we had to keep winning to get there. So I was not in Australia for the GWS final. Okay. I remember exactly where I watched the GWS final. I went home from Charlie and I doing TOEFOP Live at the LA Podcast Festival. And I went home to my apartment while everybody else was partying, because I had to watch GWS.
Oh my God.
And the Bulldogs on my computer.
That's we were actually in LA.
Yeah,
for the
we were there as well. Yeah.
The Auntie Donna did its first show at Largo at the Coronet in LA the day before the AFL Grand Final. And I remember we were taking off as Tom Boyd kicked the Grand Final goal. And I remember going, they're going to win their first Grand Final. And then as we landed in Melbourne, so we're in the air for 15 hours, as we landed back in Melbourne, it took the runway that comes in from the port. So I looked out the right window. I have a photo of it, and you could see Witten Oval just covered in blue, like fans at the ground. It was a very cool experience. I didn't get to watch the game, but I did. I want to ask you about what you said before about the way that we play finals, because I think that's – it's not unique, I guess, because NFL does it as well. But in NBA or in baseball, it's a – there's this idea that we're going to find the best team of the year, because when you win, it's a series of seven. And in the EPL, in football, when you play that, it's just the ladder at the end of the year, essentially. And so it's decided through the year. Where does the joy in that come from? I actually like watching football or EPL, the idea that you're just at whoever's at the top at the end of the year. How does anyone derive any joy from that?
Gradual joy.
Gradual joy.
People who like their joy to just be incremental throughout the season, to slightly experience little bits more joy, little bits more joy. It's not what I love.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's about how you're raised, clearly. But the most recent example I will give of this exact like same thing, I think, is the ICC World One Day Cricket Tournament, right? Yeah. India are the best team on paper in the world. There is absolutely no doubt about that. That entire tournament was set up for India it wasn't a you win the most and there's a ladder and they give someone a trophy. Mm-hmm. The way that it works is they then play finals, and anyone on the day, that's why they play the game, right?
Yeah.
And the joy that comes from seeing like a great team or a team that was meant to win defeated on the day by a team that plays, you know. I don't know why you would not want that joy your life, but also you have to live with the devastation.
The misery as well.
That's the discussion, is it? Because, as you said, you would have had feedback from people saying that Bulldogs weren't the best team that year. It does not matter in any way. It's about who got there first on the right day. It's the Collingwood last year won the flag by a cumulative, what, 6 to 7 to 8 points all up. Beat Melbourne by 2 points, beat GWS by 4, and then the grand final by less than a goal as well. Yeah. That's magical. Mm. And while you don't want to live through that in any way, shape or form, I mean, we would have both felt it in 2021, Will, at different periods. Halfway through the third quarter, I was ready. I felt it deeply. And then, we, you know, we, it, it, you don't
the,
want
the, do we want to identify the exact moment?
No.
It was when I was sitting home alone, of course, because it was COVID, you know. You know, I'm a Bulldog supporter, not a Melbourne supporter, so I couldn't sneak across the border.
No, I was.
But, but no, I was watching Home Alone, you know, very different experience to 2016, clearly. I was there at the game, you know, being able to sort of enjoy the entire experience of it. But, you know, Home Alone, very different, like, and literally alone, you know, in my house by myself in lockdown. I decided the best way to do that was to have an edible. So I've also taken an edible, which is a very different experience to 2016. And I'm sitting at home on my couch and Bontempelli kicks that goal. And Brian Taylor talks about how the Bulldogs are going to win the premiership and Bontempelli is going to be the Norm Smith medal.
Yep.
And I realize I hadn't spoken, obviously, for 2 hours. I haven't talked to anyone. And I say out loud to no one, "Shut the fuck up, Brian."
I do remember that, mate. I think he said something like, he's going to get the, he's the Norm. It's the Norm Smith medal. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's been a, I've listened through the years and loved watching long. I'm curious to know from you, has talking about footy this much in a objective sense allowed you to very clearly in your mind say what you love about footy? Or because I find it hard to grasp exactly what I like about footy, and I think most people who watch footy would think that they what's the precise thing they love? How do you grapple with that question?
Well, here's what I'll tell you that I have learnt about myself, and I can say about myself 100%. I love footy. Like, I love footy more than I love the Bulldogs. Now, some people are supporter first. You know, I love my team, and then I love the game.
Mm.
I actually probably get more joy out of watching other teams play each other than I do out of getting my own. There is a different emotion of watching my own team. There's nerves and frustration and those sort of things that I – but to watch football, to watch, like, teams play against each other, like, I probably watched 18 North Melbourne games last season and loved them because you're just watching this young team start to – these, like, you know, these players start to emerge. And if you love the game, like, seeing – future, you know, a team that's been in a bad place for a long while, see those sprouts of them starting to, like, turn the corner, not quite being there yet. It's like watching a baby giraffe learn to walk, you know. It's magnificent. And I love the game. So I love every aspect of the game. And I think that the reason I do is this. I love that it's an oval ball. The reason it's an oval ball and we play finals is that, like, it isn't a computer program. We're not going to feed in all this information about who the best players and who the best team is and then just print out at the end of the season, you know, who's going to win the game. The ball can bounce the wrong way and that can be the difference, right? There is no game in the world that leaves so much up to the umpires just deciding what the player's intention was.
Yes.
Like, you know, not only am I going to enforce these rules while I run 14 kilometres in a game that's 360 degrees played by people of all different sizes, you know, in just in like absolute chaos at sometimes. But you know what? This rule, you've also got to read his mind a little see what he was thinking. Right?
It's the most artistic sport because it's taking the umpires are critics and they're going, what you did made me feel this and thus I give you this response. It's not you hit him in the hand, so it's this. It's I felt this.
Mate, that's – and so much of – you look at like a game like NFL or baseball or these sort of things, right? That often there'll be a celebration. You know, the NFL players, you know, there might be a celebration of what they've achieved. The soccer players, there might be a celebration of what they've achieved, right, afterwards. Ours is the game that has that built into the play itself.
Mm.
Like no game has a – component of the game where a high mark is like taking speckies is really kind of unnecessary. Like there'd be a different sport that would be like, you know what, let's just kick it a bit longer and catch it in your tummy.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how we do it from now on. We have a game that rewards these absolute moments of creativity and chaos and the way someone kicks a goal, the performance of it, the like I we get mocked because you get rewarded with a point.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, no, no. That's great. Mm. I love that we give you like a point for having a go, right?
I feel the same. It's so much of it. Do you think as you get older and there's more memories connected to it that it takes on a special meaning as well? The idea of I talk a lot with younger people about when I played footy and my experience with footy when I was a teenager was a different experience to the moment that I started to pursue a completely different career. As soon as I went to acting school and I had a focus and a drive to go and do something else was the moment that I really became hyper-focused on AFL because I don't know what it is. I get the idea that that's never going to be me. I'm never going to be that person. That it allowed you to – it allows you to fixate on something that you have absolutely no control over and to be able to have fights that at the end of the day mean not that much. But in some way, the moments of elation you feel are as big a moments as you have in your life, I think.
I think so too. And I do think that there is something that draws creatives to Aussie rules in particular.
Like you reckon?
Yeah, I do. Because to truly understand it and enjoy it, a lot of it is like defined by its limitations, you know, defined by the fact that so much of the game is open to interpretation, that so much of it is imperfect, that we have this game that isn't played by one particular type of human. Like, you know, if you lined Caleb Daniel and Mason Cox up for people who did not know AFL and went, they play the same game, you'd be like, I don't reckon that's true. I don't know how that could possibly be that they play the same game, you know, and that we have this game that rewards that. I think a lot of it is in the interpretation, and I think that's why I think that fans sometimes do themselves a disservice when they crave for things to be black and white. Because the truth of it is that we have a game that if you are going to complain about every why was that not a push in the back versus that being a push, oh boy, like you're not going to enjoy the game. That you've just got to kind of roll with the fact that it's an imperfect game and it kind of in the end, it all sort of works out in the wash. Mm. But part of the joy of it is that it's an imperfect game. Like when you look at AFL player lists, they look like Lord of the Rings characters going on a quest. You know what I mean? Like there's just all sorts of different, like, and my axe. Like, and you're like, where's that guy come from? Like there'll be a preppy guy versus a guy who looks like a caveman versus whatever. And I think there is a poetry in that. There's a poetry in the stories. And there's this weird... It's a weird sport, right? Like, because it's only Australian. We don't play it anywhere else in the world. It is ours, both its limitation and its, like, you get to, you know, like, sometimes we love Paul Kelly because Paul Kelly's great, but also because the rest of the world never quite got Paul Kelly, right? And, you know, he's popular in other places, but, like, he was not popular anywhere else like he was popular in Australia. He feels very much like ours because he didn't go off and like become somebody else's. He's ours.
Absolutely.
And I think that like Aussie rules football has that as well. Like there are so many things that are so anachronistic about it. The fact that there's still so many teams out of Melbourne. Like, I mean, can you imagine if you're designing a game from scratch in today's day and you came in, like I'm the guy, it's like day one and I'm just like, yeah, we're going to have like, a team, yeah, we're going to have like 18 and they're like, oh, great, so we'll have like three teams in each state. No. 2 in every state and then 8 in that one. That's what we're doing.
100%. It's funny you talk about the way Paul Kelly, it's his ours. I feel exactly the same about the magic that's Kane Corns. And like that's half of my love of the AFL world is that is the media around it. We have this weird, bizarre pocket where there's a self-feeding media organization that fills up multiple radio and television stations every week talking about a sport that no one in the world knows about, and that's such a huge love for me. And I know for you guys as well. I love that too. I think that
there is a clip like on so after the Bulldogs won in 2016. So on the Friday night, Adam Spencer and I had gone on AFL 360 because he's a Swans fan and I'm a Bulldogs fan. And so we went on AFL 360 and I got a little carried away and sort of just went on this rant about, you know, what we'd done and how I thought we were going to win and whatever. And on Monday, so you guys will know this, but like there might even be people listening who don't follow AFL 360 as closely as I do.
But or you or I, yes.
That the people who make the packages on their shows are some of the most incredible work of anyone who edits video in any sport in the world. They make these incredible storytelling packages. Mm-hmm. They're like intellectual. They're not just like, you know, like heavy music and wrestling promo style things. They can absolutely tell a story. Like the way that they'll put them together with people's quotes or different radio grabs or the same moment with different, like, I mean, they do quite complex work, again, within this little world that we, but they do incredible stuff with it. On the Monday after the 2016 grand final, the Bulldogs, you can find it online, I know, because I look at it all the time. But the one they did about the Bulldogs grand final is essentially narrated in part by me. They cut up that rant that I did on the Friday night and then, you know, put in the clips and the moments and the whatever in between this thing. And you know when sometimes people ask you what's the biggest thrill of your life and like they're expecting you're going to say, well, I did this gig with this really big star or I was in this place. Blah, blah. That is the biggest thrill of my life. I love that when people look back on 2016 and if they look at that clip and it's such a great clip that it just
– You're the orator.
That's great. Yeah, the great kind of – to be actually just in such a small way part of that moment. But that – that footy media, they do often do incredible work.
Mm. Oh, man, 100%. But no, you deserve to be there because that's you are a great voice of footy and we're very grateful to have you talking about it. It's been a wonderful chat. I said to Tom before this, I'm like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. I'll write down a few questions, but I've got a feeling Will's going to be able to just bring it, and you absolutely
just
did. This has been
wonderful.
You're a master. Like,
the only skill that I have. I'm sorry, Tom.
He made
me. I'm sure you had questions or something.
No.
This is he likes it. He's having the best. I can genuinely tell he's having a really good time.
I like listening.
but doesn't like podcasts.
Yeah, best podcaster.
My last question is. How do you feel about the Doggies this year? My feeling is that it's a last chance saloon for Bevo, potentially. But I feel like you have, and we've talked about this too, Tom, you have all the assets that you could absolutely just do 2016 again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The young guys are there with the old hands. I put you in a category of maybe seven who could win it this year. How do you feel?
I mean, if it all went right, yes, absolutely. Yeah, if it all went right at the right time, they've got enough ingredients to make, you know, what you need to make a premiership in that. But it's the more interesting thing is exactly what you've talked about. It's like, where are they with Bevo? Where's the club at? There's been a big club review. There's clearly, you know, I'm a Bevo believer. Like, I think he's earned it. Like, as I said, sure. I'd lived to my mid-40s without ever seeing my team play in a grand final. Since Bevo's been coach, I've seen my team play in a grand final twice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, statistically, he can coach for another 80 years and he's done his job. You know? I think he's earned it. But obviously, I think he's a very good coach and maybe – the magic is like maybe it's so it's I want to see. I think it's that sort of thing of either he'll be able to do something special with them again and yeah, we'll have a crack, or it might be the end of it.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that he's a bad coach. He could go somewhere else and absolutely do it again, I think.
100%, no.
But maybe with that style of coach, the big interesting question is that storyteller narrative coach. So not the one, you know, the one who can go, here's who we are, this is the story of this year or what we're doing, is that a limited entity?
Mm.
Does storytelling, like after a while, you run out of material.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I hadn't spent all that good stuff in 2016.
We all think, deep down, I don't know about you, Will, but Auntie Donna feels like we make one good comedy festival show every second year. And if if Bevo had to only coach every second year, that might actually return more grand finals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, I've got to have a year off. I've got to go and get some stories.
Yeah.
I've got to go and get some anecdotes that I can use in my coaching.
Yeah, if we ever get to the maturity of that level. The one thing I think is very exciting for the Dogs, you talked about the review, is Peter Jackson, I think, is the Melbourne man that mm-hmm. changed everything for us. So if he's doing good stuff in there, then all good. I will say to our audience, go listen to Two Guys, One Cup. It's a great way to microdose into the TOEFOP community and everything that they do. It's a lovely, lovely listen.
Mm.
All available on the Listener app, I believe, now. Is that right?
Yeah, but so everything's at Everyone Relax now. And so when people are hearing this, Charlie and I are going to get together and do a little new episode that'll be on Everyone Relax. And then all our podcasts are now in the exact same place. So if you Google Everyone Relax, wherever you get your podcast, you should be able to find all our stuff.
And Question Everything is on now, or is it starting soon?
Question Everything is finished for this year, but it's all available on ABC iView. People can check that out. And, oh, I have a tour.
Sorry. Oh, please. Oh, we're going to do the tour, please.
Yeah. Will Legitimate is the name of the show, and I am taking it to all the Australian places, and you can just check my socials or my website or whatever for details.
One of the great joys of my life is we did Montreal Just for Laughs in about 2017. I got to see Will do his show in a smaller room than he would usually do, just to like – just people who weren't as familiar with his work, and I just saw him dominate for an hour, and it was one of the great joys. Go see Will if you can. And thanks, Will, for joining us. Go Doggies. Tom?
Yes.
Anything to add?
No.
Bounce that pill.